QWR training for our Paper Profits Mastermind group. Welcome, everybody. I hope you're having a great summer. We're going to jump right into it, but before we jump into things, I got to have just one quick proud father moment. So we spent the last week there in the North Shore there in Laie, Hawaii, and just had a blast. There we are at the Polynesian Cultural Center. Not really a professional picture taker. I stood right in front of the flagpole. But anyway, and you can see there in the middle, the two shorter ones just had a little squabble, so they posed nicely for a picture. But my daughter there next to me, you can see how tall she is. She's 6'1", but that's who we dropped off, my little Taylor, up on my other screen, which you can't see here in my office. I got a little picture of her when she's just a little one. So that's just the proud dad moment for you. And you'll see there, having spent a week there and made some really good local connections, well, we've got some awesome things we can do and have a little fun while doing business. And we'd just be curious to know how many would want to join us if we were to move a future mastermind meeting and just schedule one over there. You know, I'm a big Southwest guy, fly lots of Southwest. I just heard they're opening up flights over there starting in January, February. So kind of exciting. So anyway, proud dad moment before we get started. Please let me know what's new in your world. I love to hear some of these things. So I saw a few of you type in there, a few of the places you've been. I love hearing that, love talking about it. And we'll go from there. So anyway, today, what we're going to cover today on today's training, we've got a few quick announcements for you. One little survey question that I'd be interested in knowing. We've had a few people ask for this. I just wanted to know if it's the consensus of the group. But today's going to be mostly focused on what is a QWR and how to respond to one. Okay, you're going to get them. They come. You get a savvy borrower, savvy borrower's attorney. They're coming. So just expect them. And we want to help you be prepared for them. There's nothing to fear. And we're actually going to take you into a fresh QWR case study from a member that literally is, you know, kind of just finishing up. And I see that they're on the call with us, so that's great. We'll unmute you at the appropriate time there. And then, of course, we'll have any Q&A for you guys to open it up. If there's anything we can help you guys out with, that's what we're here to do. So let's jump into this real quick. If you can type in the question box. We've had, we're up to double digits now that have asked for it, but there's a few people on the call that I haven't had a chance to reach out to. But I just wanted to know if you guys would be interested in a specialized workshop that focuses just on raising capital for your real estate and note deals. And if that's something that would be of interest to you, you know, how to bring on new private lenders. You know, we can talk a lot about how we've done that. We'll also be bringing in some people to share and teach that they do a lot of that as well. How to structure joint ventures. I've got some of my own money in deals, but we have a lot of OPM, other people's money in there. And the one thing that I'm like, you know, a sponge for right now, because we're looking very aggressively into just pulling the trigger and doing this, is the new Reg D506C. Program and putting something together under that category there. So if there's some interest, let me know here. And okay, good. We got some definite people that are interested. But yeah, type there in the question box if that's of interest. It's something we're looking to do, and it's something we're being advised on, and we just want to know if we need to be opening that up to you guys as well. So very cool. Quick announcement here. You'll notice I've just tweaked the title of this workshop a little bit that's coming up the 19th and 21st through the 21st, Note Pricing, Risk Analysis, and Workouts Workshop. We've actually had some awesome calls with our special guest expert, and we're going to be spending more time latter part of this week and early next, you know, really fleshing out. We've already got the outline and putting together a lot of the content that we'll be sharing. And I'm excited as an attendee. You know, I feel like I know quite a bit about some of these areas, but I'm a sponge. I always want to have that slight edge, and I want you guys to have that too. But I am, like, stoked for what we've got planned and what's coming. So if you can do anything to get here, this would definitely be one to be able to totally immerse yourself live for 2 days. – come in a little earlier. If you need some help on your files, bring them to the office on the 19th. We'll have time specifically set aside for that on the 19th. And then, you know, other than that, you just have to kind of pull one of us aside at the event if you bring some of your files. I know we do that quite often. So please join us. I see some names on the call today that, you know, haven't RSVP'd yet, and I know you've got stuff and date conflicts with summer going on. We just, as many as you can, we'd love to have you. It's going to be great. And I think it's going to, you'll put this particular workshop as a turn, you know, not, I don't want to say a turning point, but maybe a springboard into some other areas that help you. So we're excited about it. So please join us. Just real quick, well, I always put this up here just as a reminder. We had a couple of new registrants for our referral program. And this is just something, if, you know, we obviously want to earn your trust and earn the referrals just from what we do, but we also want to incentivize you to help grow the group. So that's there. If you have any questions, I just finished up an email blast for someone that I helped put together for them and include their trackable links and everything. If that's something, we got people that they literally come to all of our events and they pay for their hotel and travel with those referral bonuses. So just something, if you think it might be of interest, talk to us specifically and we can help you out there. So, okay, today's training topic, understanding the QWR process, the what, why, when, and how of receiving and responding to a QWR. So we're going to get into what exactly a QWR is here in just a minute, but I'm excited about this, and let me just give you a little background. You know, I was out of the office this past week and, you know, saw a couple of emails come through with a couple of questions from one of our group members, and was just very pleased to see how the help took place to help them solve some of their issues as it related to a QWR they had received. And I immediately said, that is what we've got to share this week. We had some previous content planned for you guys today, which is also good content, which we'll push to next week. But I really wanted to put this in there. It's a live look-in on an actual file, and we've actually were able to capture, with the permission of one of our members, the recording of this and talk about it, and they've given permission to openly use it. And I think there's just a lot of takeaways that you'll have, some nuggets going forward that'll help you when this comes, and you will get some QWRs. So I'm literally going to be shifting here into listening mode as I turn this over to Kristen. She is, as I've said often, she's a true gem and is a huge addition to our team and has done a good job putting some stuff together here. And then you'll see on the call the resource you guys have at your disposal to be able to just reach out and get the help you need. So, Kristen, if you, I'm going to go ahead and you just, you know, give me the heads up on when to, you know, forward the slides, and we'll go from there. So let's jump right into it. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome. Can you guys feel that
Thank
energy
you
that
so
Kristen
much.
Brings? She brings energy. She's so excited to present this. She's like, this is awesome. These people need this. So I'm excited. So take it away, Kristen.
Okay. Thank you so much, Travis. And I'm just glad to be here. And hello to my friends near and far. So the next slide, everybody's going to ask, what's a QWR? And you hear about it. It's an acronym loosely used out into the industry. And so I just wanted to take some time, since I had the opportunity, to give you some details on what a QWR is, how it's used, why you get it, and what you do with it. Okay, so the next slide. So this is just going to provide you an explanation of what a qualified written request is and a QWR. So an acronym used is QWR, and it's used for two different things. It's qualified written request and the response. So what a QWR is an actual written piece of correspondence that you'll receive from a debtor or a debtor's attorney or anybody that's acting on behalf of that debtor. They have the ability to send the mortgage servicer a QWR. That is the correspondence. What is the purpose? The purpose is to dispute any error relating to the service of the mortgage, or it's also used as a stalling tactic. Okay, So just a tip that you know, that QWR is just one of the ways that a debtor or debtor's attorney can approach you, you know, try to get a stall. There's several different letters that you can receive, and QWR is just one of many. I provided a couple other notice of error or a request for information. Those are also letters that are used, and you're going to have to respond just as you would a QWR. So just so you know, there at the bottom, request is what you receive, and what you provide is the response. Okay, so I just wanted to make sure that everybody's clear. You're going to receive the request, and then you're going to push back a response. Okay?
And we're going to get into it. We're going to get into it, I know, but there's a deadline within which you have to respond, and we'll clearly spell those out here as we go.
The most important thing for everybody here on the call, just don't panic. Don't freak out. You know, it's just a savvy approach to make you freak out or make you go away or get scared or intimidated. So first, just read it, accept it. It's going to be long. So just don't panic. That's the most important thing that I want to tell you. What is a qualified written request? And why am I receiving this request? After you receive it, what am I required to do by federal law? And in the next couple slides, I'm going to answer those what, why, and how.
So one thing I just want to chime in here. When Kristen first came on board, it was almost, I think it was that same week or the following week that we received one. And I believe it was our first one. Our people over at the Fresh, you know, I won't mention the name on recording, but that particular firm, and they sent it in with a lowball offer going along with it. That came after, but it was they sent the QWR first, and I think the reason Kristen put this slide in here is because I was freaking out a little bit. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this like we're gonna totally have to write this off? You know, like, is this one of those things? Oh, my God. I was just concerned. It was something we hadn't had. And she's like, settle down, you know. And so I hope that you guys, as she goes through this, this will be helpful to you. So next slide.
All right. Okay, so I just want to point out that it's a very, very, very crucial point here is that a QWR is vastly different than a CFPB complaint. So some people are going to try to scare you, send you a QWR, make you think that it's a formal CFPB complaint, but it's not. So receiving a QWR is just one of two parts. You can also receive a QWR in concert with the CFPB complaint. So you're going to ask yourself, what's the difference? Well, I'm going to tell you what the difference is. Okay, so on the next slide.
While you're waiting for that slide to come up, guys, feel free to participate actively and type any questions in the question box and we'll get to them.
Okay, great. So a QWR is the actual correspondence, the request in writing, and it's sent to a loan servicer or may not be accompanied with the actual CFPB complaint. Now, a CFPB complaint is going to be submitted through the CFPB portal and it's going to be issued a CFPB case number. Okay, a QWR must be responded to within 5 business days of receipt of the request, not when they sent it, but actual receipt. And the CFPB complaint is also, it's going to be responded to in the same time frame, but then you're also going to be responsible for entering it into the CFPB portal as a response. Okay, so You could get both, you could get one, or you could get a real savvy attorney like we did that said that it was a CFPB complaint, but when I logged into the portal, there was no case number. So if somebody tries to tell you, hey, this is a QWR and a CFPB complaint, just ask them for the case number. If they can produce it, you know, take it from there. If they can't, then you may very well caught them in, you know, it's not a deal breaker, it's just, you know, you're not required to enter any response to the CFPB portal if it's not anything. You are required to respond to the QWR. Not sure if there's any questions on that slide.
I'll chime in. Hold on here. We do have one, and this is what is a CFPB complaint? So that's probably a good time to just back up and just detail that. So we all know what the CFPB stands for. We should. We're so grateful for this new entity that's been formed to oversee us all, right? The Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. So they've got a very large arm here to oversee and make sure that consumers aren't taken advantage of. And so a complaint.
Yeah, that was good.
Go ahead.
It stemmed from the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Financial Protection Act in 2010. If anybody wants to research that, that's what you would search. I can provide you anything you want to know on the CFPB, how to apply on the portal, and what the response deadlines. Just reach me offline and I can assist you with that. We also put together a CFPB portal setup, and that's on the members area, Travis.
Yep, and I'll actually have John, who's listening, make sure to tag, put a link below this particular recording in the members area, and have it link up to that particular CFPB train that could go along in concert with this. So hopefully that helped, who asked the question. And if there's a follow-up question, please type it in.
Okay, so you're going to receive, it can be anywhere from one page to 16 pages. It can vary if there's no rhyme or reason. You can tell that most of the QWRs that you'll receive are still in a template format where it still says insert name here. So these folks are pulling these docs or templates from the internet just as any other, you know, it's just a savvy way. You Google hardship letter, you enter your name, it's going to put your name into someone else's hardship. So it's just know that it's out there. There's several different formats. So what I've provided you is a, you know, included but not limited to. So there could be several other key items that they ask for that are not on our list, but I just wanted to make sure that these are just some of the items that you could potentially see on a QWR. Okay, so the payment history is that I put that one first because that is the one that is most scary in the non-performing world. So don't be scared of a payment history and don't be scared of anything that they're asking for. Provide a response, provide what you do have with a disclosure that, hey, if you want more information, ask for it. I'll get it for you within reason, you know? And so just make sure that you provide what you can within the 5 business days because you need to get your response. So just because you don't have a payment history, don't pretend it's gonna go away and don't respond, okay? So a breakdown of the amount claimed to be owed, including arrearages, an explanation of how you got to those monthly billing statements based on the amortization schedule that they signed at signing with their promissory note, an itemized breakdown of escrows, foreclosure fees and costs, anything that's incurred on the loan, the assignment chain, the note, the deed or mortgage, canceled checks of expenses paid, copies of payments received, all letters, statements, documents sent by you or your servicer if you choose to board it. So these are just some of the items, and they're continued on the next slide. So it's pretty much an all-inclusive letter that they're asking for everything out there that they could possibly catch you on, and they're asking for is from inception. So payment histories, payoff demands, statements, letters, demands, anything that's gone out to the debtor or has gone out to the debtor on your behalf, including prior servicers, is going to be some of the things that they're going to ask you for. They're also going to ask you for in a spreadsheet format or a letter form with columns. They detail out every credit on the account, so it's basically a transaction history. So you're not going to have a lot of this information because you probably haven't received a payment since you've had, you know, since your transfer effective date. So provide the note, the deed, the collateral, the assignments, the riders, any other information that you do have, and then just add a and that you're not providing a pay history because your company has never been in receipt of any funds from the debtor. So you're going to put your package together based off what they're asking for and what you have. Okay? And then you're just going to detail it out, what you've provided, and that additional information can be, with request, with written request. So you're not going to give them what you don't have, obviously, and you're going to give them what you do have and what's most helpful to what they want to know is validation of the lien. Who are you? What do they owe? And that's what they're questioning. They're validating the who you are and what's owed. And all the little errors of payment histories and transfers and all of that, that's kind of just red tape, so to speak.
And they're looking for holes. They're looking for holes,
yes,
to, you know, invalidate, you know, basically invalidate your lien and just see if this is something you can even provide and if you're legit. And that's a big deal. And one thing I wanted to comment here, because I know my personality on some of these, you know, I spend a lot of time on the business development side. When I see a list like this, I'm like, this is a lot of stuff. And one of the things that we've worked on and we've shared with you guys in the group as well, we highly recommend a powerful recall system for all this and storage system. And we use Google Apps for Work, specifically Google Drive, and it's very detailed on how we store all this. And we would suggest you guys do the same. And again, I'm referencing this, John, so tag it underneath of this particular video, the training on that. But just in setting that up, it's very important because you see all the stuff on here. You can now just very quickly grab it, put it together, and prepare it. So we've now had a few of these come through, and each time we get a little bit better on just, okay, that wasn't part of our foldering system, let's add that in, and it's really solid. So, kudos to Kristen, who's continued to develop out this system. Any questions on anything? Oh, we had a couple questions come in. So it says, can a lawyer get in trouble for threatening a CFPB complaint when it's really a QWR? Is this considered harassment? What I would say to you on that one, David, is the CFPB it's relatively new. And there's more and more stuff that comes down as to what they're, you know, what's going on. But to answer your question, I think it absolutely, you know, is a gray area, and it's poor form. And I think, you know, I know we actually called the one firm on it, and it was interesting to see their stance back off. I mean, they really backed off. There was no CFPB case number, and, you know, which is a lot more serious than, you know, so anyway. I don't know if that answers your question, but we'll continue to follow up and look on that. There's just new stuff coming down every day. I know we're on a couple of Google alerts. If that's something that's a real buzz for you, you know, there's certain things you can add on Google alerts where anything that gets posted as it relates to certain keywords, you know, we've got CFPB complaints. There's certain things that you can tag that'll notify you, and I have those going to a little folder that I look at once a week, and but you can set some of that up, and if you're interested in that, that's probably something we ought to show them how to do too, just to stay on top of things. Second question here that we've got: what happens if we do not respond within 5 days? Any insight on that, Kristen?
Well, you're out of compliance and you're in direct violation with the Dodd-Frank Wall Street reform, and I wouldn't want to be that person.
There have been fines levied, several fines levied already. They are serious.
The next couple slides on the facts about QWR, the damages section will tell you that there's damages for failing to respond to the RESPA's request. And individuals' actual damages, $1,000 increase to actual damages plus $2,000. And class action lawsuits, the cap for class action lawsuits increased from lesser of $500,000 or 1% of the servicer's net worth to the lesser of 1 million or 1%.
Wow. So anyway, just
in my opinion, I'd throw a package together to prevent that from potentially being an issue.
And there's one more quick question here before we advance the slides here. Dirk asked if there's a foldering system is documented so that we can do, you guys can duplicate it. And the answer to that is yes. And that's what I'll have John link up in the members area. But it's time for us to record another one because we have made additional enhancements that we feel are even better. So, you know, let's put that up there for the next couple weeks to get up there. But we do have something already recorded on that. And
I think
we can
with March or April, I believe that's when we did the whole Google setup of the technology portion.
Yeah, and we'll actually, coming up here in the next 30 to 45 days, those that are new in the group, we're just due up because we've had several new people come on board. If it's something, if you're within driving distance and we set a day where we just have you do that and help you walk out of here with it done, people have said, yes, I'd be interested in that. And so just tag us if you know you're going to be in town on a certain time for one of the workshops. That's something else that we could help you out on that Wednesday before a workshop that you fly in for, something like that if you really want to get it going. So, okay, the facts about QWRs.
All right. So as I said before, the reform, there's that 2010 date, the act that actually went into effect and it changed the timelines for the written request and how long it used to be, the 15 days, so now it's only 5. So that's just to tell you about when the reform took place and why was the result. This just changes the violations to the servicers and the timelines. So shorter QWR timelines were a result. The act changes the response deadline from 60 to 30 days, and it does allow the 15-day extension. So that just kind of tells you the timelines. But for you and your initial concern, 5 days. It used to be 15, and now it's 5. Okay? The next tip was that designated address. They just say that it is a good idea and recommended to have an isolated address that's just for your QWRs. I don't know that if the size of your portfolio would have an impact on if it's necessary to have a separate address. If you're smaller company, then I don't that's for you to, that's an option. It's just a tip that you may vary, it may be a smarter approach to have an address that just for your QWR, and because if it goes to the wrong address or if it misses, goes to the wrong hands, then you're going to be in violation. So the requirements and the general and the damages are on this slide. And just so the servicers should be aware that there's, the new guidelines for forced placed insurance, as well as charging fees for responses to the QWR. So for escrow accounts, after receiving a full payoff and the escrow balance, that has to be refunded within 20 days to the debtor, and 10 business day deadline to respond to the request for identity and address of the owner or assignee of the loan. So those are some different requirements that stemmed from the QWR RESPA law. And there's those damages. I'm not going to repeat myself, but that's exactly where the information that I just told you when someone had that question. And then the TILA. In addition, the Dodd-Frank reform changes a few sections of the Truth in Lending. Escrow accounts are now mandatory for first mortgages. Sorry about that. All loans guaranteed by state or federal government, the act requires servicers to credit payments as of the date of receipt, unless a delay will make a result of charge or negative on the credit report. Payoff statements must be sent with reasonable time, but no more than 7 days after a written request. So those are some of the TILA laws. And then also everybody knows that the TRID, was due to roll out 8.1, and that's been pushed to October 3rd, 2015. More information to come as we get it, but all of that can be researched and found on the CFPB site.
Okay, hold on. Hold the fort. We've got some questions here coming in. Does the requester have to send the QWR to the servicer or the lender?
Servicer.
Okay, good. That'll actually be, you'll see that happen here in our case study. We're going to go live here in just a minute on something. Can the servicer send these, and how are they sent, via mail and email? And the answer, we've seen both of those, where both of those got sent. And you'll notice here that the servicer, they're known for charging fees, and some of the fees that they charge for this stuff are really high, right? So just something to be thinking about, and the question is, can you actually respond yourself? So stay tuned here just for a minute. Any other questions on that? If there's questions, follow up on that, William, please type them in. And then here's the conclusion.
Okay, so you know, the conclusion, the most important points at the servicers, just timeline, speed it up. If you get a request, we'll respond. So that because of the damages, you know, if the violations and the fines and the, it's just, you don't want to be in that situation. And so just take note that limit your liability and respond in a timely fashion, and you'll have nothing to worry about. But if the borrower sends the QWR to the wrong address, the servicer may be able to avoid the liability altogether. So that's why it's critical that they have your address, and that if you choose to have a separate address just for QWRs, then that's your choice.
So any other questions on that before we jump into this case study? Give me just a second to type in. Okay.
So. Hey, Kevin. Just so you, I have two things. One, the servicer that's involved in this specific isolated case study was going to charge $500 to provide a response. So I just wanted to put that out there. And then also I wanted to put it out there that what I provided to, when we received a QWR here, what I provided was all of my collateral package, my assignments, my evidence of who I'm at, who I am, where I got my numbers, my amortization schedule, my detailed template that we use on the members area for delinquent interest. All that I provided, I did not provide a pay history, and it was perfectly acceptable. And now we're going to foreclosure. So that's just, I just wanted to share. You're going to see one way on the call here. You're going to see one result of a QWR. And then we have a case study where we actually provided what I just told you, and it was sufficient. I asked for a case number. Then they went dark because they never did submit it through the CFPB portal. It wasn't a complaint. They didn't have a valid case number. So what we provided, we got, there was no questions, no issues, and now we're going to sale. So it's just a different, you know, I just wanted to provide some real life experience that we had here at Capstone.
Very good. Very good. Well, again, guys, this, what we're going to go through now, this is, we've got some tech issues here that I hope will work, because we, as many of you know, when we have a situation where we can use it for either internal training purposes, we like to jump on a recording for the most part. If calls are coming through our internal lines, we do have some new members on here. We use a company called Jive.com. We use voice over IP phones. And every single call, we have it set up to our Amazon S3 server. And those are all uploaded and available. We have all the recordings. So in this case, though, a call came in on a cell phone. And we were like, oh, no, you know, how do we jump on this? And as Aaron was on the call, he, you know, motioned to Kristen to record that. And so we had that on a smartphone. And so what we're going to try and do, we want to play this for you And what I'd like to do, Alan, if you're on, I'm just going to unmute you really quick and maybe just give a little bit of setup for this. And what we're doing here, what I want to do just before I unmute Alan, big lesson here that I want everyone to, you know, we take pride in getting back to you guys. And if we are ever slow to do that, please call us out, because we're set up to actually help out. And so you can't really get that help from our asset management team if you never ask for it. And so in this case, you know, we appreciate that. We look for opportunities like this. It helps us if it's something we don't know, which a lot of times we already have the answer. If we don't know it, we're going to get it from one of our expert board of advisor members that, I mean, we have built and we worked hard to build, and they stand to serve, and you'll see some of that in place on this particular call. So I'm going to go ahead right now and unmute Alan. Let's just do that real quick. Are you there, Alan?
I'm alive.
All right. Great to hear your voice, my friend. And it's good to know when the cat's away that the mice aren't at play. They're working their tails off. So they were busy helping out Alan while I was away. So this is awesome. So tell us, Alan, real quick, tell us how you ended up kind of where – I know this was a non-performing first mortgage you guys had bought, and you had initiated foreclosure, but just maybe – can you just give us a little overview of this?
Okay. Not sure how far back to go. We purchased it in January, February. We wasted some time fussing around with the assignments before we started communicating with the borrower, which is a lesson learned already. But when the assignments then were complete and recorded, we sent her a friendly letter saying, hey, you know, man, you owe a lot of money, and management has authorized me to try and work with you to figure something out. The response we got back was, I want to keep my house. So we followed up then with an email to her with a long list of things to send in, documents, you know, W-2, her pay stubs, tax returns, and her income and expenses.
Real quick, Alan, on that, approximate time frame as to when that email went out. Like, we're here, you know, first week in August. This is how far back? Is this 60 days ago?
That's mid-May.
Okay, mid-May. Very good.
At a deadline of 5/31.
Okay.
And she went dark. We did not hear anything at all. So we went ahead and used special default services. There we
That's
go.
That's right. Okay. Very good. Out of Texas.
My S's and my D's here, correct? But and asked them to go ahead and file the foreclosure. And this is Texas, so it's a fairly quick, non-judicial state.
And do you mind sharing with everybody? So she went dark. Some time passed, you know, just because I know this is a personal preference, but is there a situation when how much time passed before you said, okay, enough's enough, we're actually going to retain special default services to initiate foreclosure?
It was about 10 days after the date.
Okay, 10 days after the 31st, and that date had passed.
Yes.
Very good. Good.
We would have done it sooner, but we were actually traveling and couldn't get it done any earlier.
Perfect. Perfect. So then you initiated foreclosure, and that, like you said, it's a real quick process in Texas.
The sale date was set to be August 4th, yesterday.
August 4th, which was yesterday. And so time's moving along from the date you initiated foreclosure, and all of a sudden in comes a QWR.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, there was some communication on the 27th, I think, of July, Monday, where she called the servicer and actually tried to call me, but she got a hold of the servicer. The servicer called me and said, hey, she's on the line asking what she can do. And I said, hey, we sent her a package in May, didn't hear anything from it. The servicer said, well, I'll offer to send her our standard package. and see if she wants it. And that was communicated back to the borrower, who said, no, I don't need yours because I already have theirs, which is ours.
Okay.
So that would have been Monday, 10 days ago, I guess, about. Then Friday, there had been a communication and a voicemail left on my phone, I reached out to her and said, what's going on? And she gave me a very confused, disjointed story of saying, hey, I've sent a bunch of documents in, I've sent a check in to an address in Dallas, a company in Dallas. I said, hey, you know, that doesn't sound right because the servicer's not in Dallas and the foreclosing trustee is not in Dallas. And so, but then she didn't, nothing more came from that on Friday. Then Monday, the 3rd, the day before the sale, the servicer then emailed to us the QWR that had a date of it of the previous Friday, the 31st of May, or July.
Gotcha. So you're like, oh, hey, what the heck's going on here? I got that. The sale date's coming. Yeah, that's exactly. And just looking at the email thread of the correspondence back and forth. So now, let's just see here. And if you just you can talk over the recording if you have any points, and I'll have John stop it. But I just want to play for some of this. There's a couple of reasons I want to do this, you guys. This is on-the-fly problem-solving and doing what we need to do. And just to make sure you've kind of, you know, crossed your T's, dotted your I's, but, I mean, there's a sale date, and unless you want to completely cancel, and if I'm not mistaken, Kristen, Texas, you got to start all over again, right? Once you have to go through with the sale, once you set it, it's hard to postpone.
You cannot postpone. You have to cancel and then reschedule, and yeah. They're only held once a month.
Yeah, so very, very good, very good.
That's an important thing to ask, Travis, when people are referring their loans to foreclosure, is to ask their foreclosure attorneys if this is a restart state.
Okay, good. Very good. Okay, so then let's do this. John, if you this is kind of picking up midstream. Aaron was kind of having the conversation. He's like, I don't know how it all ended up. He's like, hey, can we use this recording to have you provide it back for the Strattons to have for the future, but also talk about it in the actual training here. So, John, go ahead and play that, and Alan, please chime in if there's things that you learned at a certain point in time that you feel might be beneficial to the group, and Kristen will do the same. So
I
go ahead.
Too embarrassing.
Do not be embarrassed at all. I often like to go through some of my own things and review it and see what I learned, what did I forget. There's just certain things that you didn't know or forgot that are helpful. So, and guys, feel free in the question box. Oh, hold on. Can we pass on? Let's just see here. Can we pass on the cost of the QWR to the borrower? Good question. Good question.
Well, remember in the slide deck, there's penalties and there's RESPA laws for servicers passing on that fee.
Okay, good.
To charge for a response.
Hold on here, let's back up. Okay, so what, and then there's, that's great. And then one more question before we jump into this, just so we can have it. What was the company with the call service that we used that has the VoIP phones? That's jive.com. And John, please tag that and link up to it below this training so people have it. That's a resource. And literally, so I'm looking right at it. They're these awesome. It's a very inexpensive way. Instead of paying the $5,000 to $6,000 for a phone system, you just pay for it monthly. The phone's included. And then we actually hook that up to the Amazon S3 server, which allows us to have everything in the cloud, and it's literally archiving every single call that calls in with borrowers and stuff. So it's pretty cool. So okay, John, cue us up and let's go through and listen to this, and we'll just, this is raw, guys. This is This is unedited.
One more bit of background.
Go ahead.
Before he cues it in, we were having a conversation with Aaron about a totally different topic, and then I happened to think, well, maybe I should ask Aaron this question.
Very interesting. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. Thank you for bringing that up. Go ahead, John.
Every 2 weeks? Or every week?
Well, 400 every week is what I work it out to be.
So, okay. Now, I'm wondering if, because she works for the school district, you think that she takes the month off or the 3 months off for summer, and that's when she's doing her housekeeping. Maybe she's supplementing her education income, or do you think that it's more that she may work for janitorial in the school district, and then she would probably get paid 12 months out of the year?
Hey, John, pause it real quick. Pause it real quick just for a minute. What I wanted to say, you guys, and please thank Alan and Gloria for this, because this is what helps everybody else learn. Them just being willing to, you know, be transparent and just, hey, here's what we did, here's what we learned. But what we want to do is we grade out anything that has to do with specific property address or borrower information, but we actually have the PDF of the QWR that we'll post as well. So you guys can just see that and look at that. It's powerful just to know what you're looking at and to see what's requested. But that's what they're going through right now, is just going through some of the, just the underwriting process to see if there was a situation where they could help this borrower last minute.
Yeah, so Kristen launched into trying to figure out if there was a possibility of a workout.
Okay, keep going.
I'll give you my best guess. My best guess is that she will not get summer pay.
Okay.
And my only rationale for that is that the first stub was, 40 hours, and then the second stub was 80 hours and then overtime, and the third stub was for 60 hours, and then she used up all of her paid time off and all of her vacation accrual, and was a total of still just over 60 hours.
And were the pay stubs dated for the summer months?
The pay stub was dated pay period ending, or the last one was pay period ending 6/6/15.
6/6/15 pay period ending. Okay, so there's 30 days.
And school ended in Texas Memorial Day.
Okay, so let me just say that there is 30 days in June, right? So if you go 6 divided by 30 days equals, so it's 0.20 into the month even. So that's 1733.33 roughly is her monthly income gross.
Yes.
And what's her first mortgage?
Well, the principal and interest only is $250.
Okay, so then where is she? What state is she in?
She's in Texas.
Okay, Texas. So there's probably the homeowner's insurance for what would you for that small of a property? What are you looking at for homeowner's insurance?
Oh, it's
for
pretty
the year?
Cheap. It's probably like $400 or $500 a year max.
I would say at least $50 a month.
Yeah. Okay, we'll put that. And then property taxes. Do you happen to know what those would be?
Well, taxes are higher.
Okay.
In Texas.
Yeah, well, we paid 3 years worth for $3,000. She was behind. I'm going to say $70 or $80 a month.
Okay.
I could get better at that.
Okay, so let's just say that's $380.
What's the property worth?
$50 or $60.
And then what? How much are you into it?
We're into a 22, and she owes a day off of about 33.
So her housing ratio is very low. You could definitely, what kind of payment are you looking to put her in if she would agree to a workout?
Because I would want a substantial down payment. And then I think something around $500-$600 a month would then keep it current if she were able to come up with, say, $5,000 or $6,000 down.
So that would be like roughly $1,260 a month would be her housing. That's her first mortgage, second mortgage.
How delinquent is this note?
About 5 years.
Holy cow. All right. So she either spent money or she has some to do a down payment. My guess is she probably spent it all.
Well, she claims she has a nice car. She, you know, the inspection pictures show a fairly nice van.
What kind of expenses does she have right now? Like
we
monthly?
Have no idea.
They don't know.
Oh, okay,
she
gotcha.
Hadn't submitted any financial paperwork. She would have to do a full financial package. My thing would be if they postpone 7 days or even 10 days, because then we're into mid-August,
mm-hmm.
and then gave her, they overnighted their response, and then they're demanding that she, that they give her a deadline to give a full financial package.
Yeah,
you know,
I definitely
retirement
think it's
accounts,
a stalling tactic,
you know,
in here.
Alimony, child support, disability
her,
receive.
Benefit income if receiving for
well,
for.
Time out just a minute. We back in May, we sent her such a request for full financials. And actually, last week when she contacted FCI, they offered to send her a similar package. I think did not because she said she had hours. And she has not responded.
So she hired an attorney to stall the foreclosure.
Well, she just hired the borrower assistant.
Yeah, to stall the foreclosure. So I wouldn't do her any favor. So you, I mean, as far as your high down payment, you know, make it a trial that you're putting it out there because that's for your protection. You got to put something out there to respond to the QWR in your best interest.
She need to put down 10%, right?
Yeah, just say that that's your company guidelines is that 10%. If she doesn't take the offer, there is no counter offers. This is what it is, or else you're proceeding to sale.
Okay.
And based on her income alone, she can afford it.
They need to make the company policy the down payment must be equal to the amount of taxes advanced and attorney's fees.
Yeah, whatever you want your
yeah,
company
that's a,
policy
that's a business
to be.
Decision. Yeah. I mean, if they're doing these different plans where they have to put down 3 to 3.5%.
What was her delinquency? I can do the math.
5 years.
5 years. Okay.
Then you have, you know, you're requiring at least 5% is, and even 10% is not outrageous if it's 5 years delinquent. But let's say they need to come up with at least 5% down.
I mean, she's only paying $380 on her first.
How much did you pay in taxes? $3,000?
Yeah, we paid $3,000 in taxes for 3 years.
Sweet little deal here, Alan. I like it.
Even with a $500 second mortgage, her housing ratio is only going to be at just 50%. So she's going to have 50% of her income to live off of, and that's plenty.
And that's plenty. Okay. So theoretically, there could be a workout.
Yeah. Down payment of your choice in $500. That's what I just did the math. And that would put her at $880. Housing alone, and then if you do the math, that's 50% of her income at $1,733 gross monthly income.
Okay, well,
and you know she's probably receiving
more.
What's that?
She's going to have a car payment.
Okay, and how much was the car payment?
Don't know, but it was a nice van.
Have you skip traced? Have you done a full comp report skip traced? You can get all that information.
Well, we have her social security number because of the foreclosure, but we did not get a credit report.
Do you want us to pull credit and do a skip trace?
No, actually, I think if she doesn't provide information, we won't do anything.
Okay.
At this point,
well,
I
would do
she
it.
Doesn't deserve much of a break.
Yeah, I would still do it just to see. I mean, you're just reviewing of what her ability to repay is as you underwrite the files. So you're looking at, okay, what are her inquiries? Does she have any other judgments or federal tax liens or anything? That all show up on the credit report. You also see the revolving accounts. You'll see the monthly payment for the vehicle. And then if you skip trace, you can get husband's information, employer, back employer history, like everything. So you just kind of get a full picture to, let's say she does provide it. Now at least you have some more physical proof to verify that she's representing stuff somewhat to be accurate, because that's how we do our checks and balances.
Oh, okay. So then we should be able to cross-check that against what she provides.
Correct. Yeah. So, and if you want to, we, because of the way our accounts are underwritten, and if you'll just show us the assignment that you have for that, then we can offer that as a service on our end to pull credit and do a TLO report. And it's like, will cost us like $15. Well, 10 for the TLO and mm-hmm. 5 for the credit.
Yeah.
So we can provide that.
Stop it really quick, John. Hey, Alan, comment for me here, because, you know, I'm under the impression, as I'm listening to you, and just, you know, comment on it here too, you feel like you've given her every opportunity, and there's really nothing to stress about, and it's like, let's move on, right? Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
That is what I'm hearing, because the only response we've had from her in any communication is, I want to keep the house. And that is... nothing beyond that has ever come through.
Yeah, so she has said that verbally, but hasn't shown or done anything to really demonstrate that, hey, I really, you know, because there's a process for doing that.
Well, that is absolutely correct, Travis.
Yeah, and I had a question come in. Why is a junior lien paying property taxes? The first is not, question mark, and this is a first, guys. Just remember, this is a non-performing first in Texas, not a second. So hopefully that answers that question. So anyway, well, let me do this, because I think there's a couple parts coming up here. You tell me if I'm wrong, Alan. I'd like to continue, because I think people are seeing. I mean, Aaron was suggesting that we've just been in the habit of, you know, really showing that we made every possible effort. And when Aaron's, you know, recommended, hey, let's do this. And, you know, in this case, I feel like you've really exhausted, you know, that opportunity. In the future, you know, potentially what you can do is grab that credit and that skip trace report, you know, earlier on, now that you know that's something you can do and it's a resource you have. But then it just allows you to ask some questions.
Yeah.
What's that? Sorry?
That's a great idea, Travis.
Yep. So, John, go ahead and just cue that up. Guys, ask questions. These are some questions. Hold on here. Let's just see what's in. The audio keeps coming in and out. Is anyone else experiencing that? That's frustrating, because we're on a fiber optic connection here with Cox Cable. So let me know if anyone else is experiencing that audio cutting in and out. Thanks, Chris, for that heads up. Go ahead and play that, and then if you feel like stopping or anything, Alan, please do. Go ahead.
That was what, 15 and 30?
No. It's $10 for the skip trace and like $5 for credit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
that sounds like a deal.
So remember, we did that menu of services on the last training call. I think I saw you, Alan, on there. We have that we can provide, but we can't pull that on people's behalves for due diligence. You have to legitimately own the note. So we just, if you provide it, the assignment over to us so we can show that we reviewed that, saw that, then we're good. We had some members that were requesting us to pull credit and do skip tracing for loans they didn't own and they're trying to get or trying to do a wholesale deal. And we're like, we can't do that, guys. That's why I made that announcement on that call.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you get information from previous servicers is what is being asked for, and we don't have that.
Well, So usually our attorney will subpoena the information, or we have our you could have the other servicer. Well, you have FCI get with the other servicer.
Is the QWR you received, is it several pages long, and it's asking for a pay history and it's asking for a lot of other documents?
Well, have them send it. You want to just send it?
It is not customized at all. It is a full meal deal. It's if you take off the last pay stubs, 3, it is nine pages long.
You want to forward that over to us?
Oh, I can, yeah.
So what you're going to want to do is just put together a package, put together all the recorded assignments that you have, the note, the deed, or the mortgage, whatever that may be, the writers, anything else that you received when you in the collateral package. Go ahead and provide that, and then you're going to put a little clause at the bottom with your response that you provide, because you have no pay history, because your debtor never made a payment to your company. So if, you know, that's additional documentation may be received upon request. So you're not, you're giving them something to, you know, that your evidence of who you are and what you owe, but then you're, you know, blanketing it with, hey, if you want more, well, then you're going to have to ask for it.
Ask for it again. Yeah. Okay.
How long ago did you buy? How long have you, what was your loan sale agreement effective date?
February, I believe.
Okay. And then you immediately had it served, boarded with FCI?
Yes.
Okay. And so they sent, have you sent any, have you lettered them at all, or have you done it all through FCI?
Actually, the only thing we did do is communicate with her in May and got some, you know, an answer back that she wanted to keep the house. We immediately sent back an email asking her to provide this information, and gave her a deadline of May 31. And then hearing nothing, we filed the foreclosure.
Got it.
Can you? How many demand letters did you send out?
Just the what the attorney has.
So just one.
And the attorney is Specialty Default Services.
I would.
Okay. What's the address? I want to pull up the air because I know this area. What's the address? I just want to look up the surrounding community.
And then we'll just.
It is Denison, Texas.
Oh, it's in Denison. Okay.
And.
It's ISON.
Okay. You can fast forward that, John. Just fast forward that a little bit.
South. Or newer and nicer in the homes.
So what is the ABM on RPR? 74K. Where did you get your valuation from?
We have a BPO, which is generally lower.
We just pulled it in RPR, which we have. Remember we talked about that you have to have a realtor relationship.
Right.
Yeah, and that pulled in at 74K.
What did RPR say?
74,000.
74. Oh, nice. That's even higher.
And that's conservative. The RPR is fairly conservative.
Yeah, RPR is usually conservative. That's typically what we always go off of.
No, there's no.
So the BPO that we had, which is now at least 6 months old, said 45.
Markets have moved up.
So it's a small home. It's 1,000 square feet. Just go to Google. It's by the lake. Zoom out. What lake is that over there? Let me see real quick. Just going to take a look at the area.
It's a reservoir of some sort.
Oh, okay. But it's by the dam. It's by Waterloo.
Yeah, there are no natural lakes in Texas, by the way.
Yeah, I know. You know, I grew up there. I grew up in Fort Worth.
Oh, okay.
So
we lived for 8 years in Arlington.
What's that?
We lived for 8 years in Arlington.
Oh, my mom just retired from there. She taught at Young Junior High.
Angela went to Young Junior High. Boys did too, yeah.
How long ago?
Small world. Holy
we
cow.
Moved in 93.
Okay, yeah, my mom started there in, I think, 98 was, until she
we just... lived just off Kelly Elliott Road, which is about a long block from the high school.
Yeah, I know exactly where it's at. Okay, very good. So, yeah, you're up in Denison, right there on the border. And what is this right here? So that's the regional airport up in North Texas. Okay.
We could probably skip a little area.
John, just push pause really quick. Do we get to the point, at what point did we conference in our guest expert?
Very shortly.
Maybe just give it a quick little fast forward. And then do you remember, I just wanted to see that because that's an important part, just to be able to tap into some of those questions, but go ahead.
Either we work out today or else going to sail tomorrow.
There is a paper on it.
Did you send that doc over?
Oh, okay. I have not yet.
You probably need to. So, yeah.
Specialty Default Services doesn't have an attorney? I thought they were attorneys.
No, they're not attorneys. They work with attorneys.
Okay.
They're the quarterback. They're the foreclosure trustee that quarterbacks the foreclosure process. So
do we need to have an attorney in addition to them?
Well, they usually assign out and do all that all internally, and you get that information if you need to correspond with them and the appropriate bill that they the attorney bills specialty default and specialty default bills you.
Yeah, they have a team of people that they use.
So that it's a whole team, a network of people that they use to do it. Is how the process
works. Because I thought there was something internal, but you're saying it's semi-internal.
Correct, yeah. I mean, they control all the pieces, and they're the quarterback. And they get billed according to the service providers that they're facilitating and using, and then the bill gets then passed on to you.
Okay.
So when you get a breakdown of an invoice, it'll show legal fees, attorney fees, this office received this fee, and so because they have to give you the breakdown of all that. But you're not necessarily interfacing with the attorney usually. Unless you're going to trial or going to go to mediation or something, then
should I send it to Kristen or to Aaron?
Send it to all three of us, me, Travis, and Kristen.
Yeah, and when was the sale?
It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay.
What time? What time tomorrow? What time Central time?
Generally 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. Central.
And when did you receive the QWR?
Friday, he said.
Friday.
Well, I received it in this morning's email.
But FCI received
it. FCI may have received it Friday.
Do you know for sure if they received it Friday?
Because I'm going to research real quick is what's the time frame before the sale date that you have to receive it in time for it to act?
Oh, yeah, that's you.
Because maybe they didn't give it to you in the correct time frame.
All right, so here's...
Well, the only thing I see is that there's a date time stamp on the document that was faxed of 7/31/2015.
Right here. Got it. We got the doc open, so 7/31.
And
so they sent it 7/31.
And her authorization is dated 7/31.
So letter of authorization, here it goes, letter and extension, blah, blah, blah. DPNSO for Mike Williams and Associates in regards to loan and borrow.
We'll post these docs, guys, so you can see what
I would jump on the phone with them right now and say, what is her intent? And can we work out a deal like right now?
Hey, call Matt. You have Matt's line directly.
I don't.
I know his extension is 424.
Oh, you're calling?
Yeah, I'll just call him real quick. See if he's usually pretty good at picking up. I got the private personal line too. The special line. There he is.
Aaron,
give me one sec.
Okay.
This is good because we need to know this. So.
And I think they did it on purpose, like the day before. No, in Texas, you can't postpone.
Do you have like 2 seconds?
Yeah, they do. Please step out of the office for a moment.
Okay, thank you. So I got an urgent deal with an investor partner. We're looking at, and y'all are actually doing the foreclosure. So it's in Texas, up in North Texas. Anyways, it's got a sell date tomorrow. The borrower, it's being serviced over at FCI. The borrower communicated once, said they were going to get financial information. Then they went dark and so just proceeded to sell. On Friday, the 31st, so just last Friday, this past Friday, they sent a QWR and that they're wanting to work it out. And they sent along 3 pay stubs. And it came from a borrower help program, BPW and Associates LLC. And so the question I have is, we can't postpone, right, in Texas. We have to cancel and restart.
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, it's not a true restart because if you cancel it, you're not going to charge for another ESG or anything like that.
Okay, good. So
we don't get more fees out of it. So.
Okay. So the question I have then is, since they sent this QWR on Friday, did they not comply? Can we just go forward with the sell date, try and contact this plan today and the borrower, and if they don't, you know, say, here's our terms, non-negotiable, it's reasonable, fair, and just, and if you don't do this and we can't close and we're just proceeding with sell?
That's fine.
Do
you need to submit the qualified written request for a certain time frame of the sale date, instead of the 11th hour like they are doing?
Okay.
It's just a stall.
So you can charge toward from that reasonable loan.
Okay.
If you respond to it or not, it's up to you guys.
Okay. Do you know the law on what's the time frame that they needed to respond back prior to the sale date?
I think it's 5 days prior to sale.
5 business days.
Is that in all states?
Yeah, something like that.
Is that in all states or just Texas?
No, that's federal.
That's federal. Okay. All right. Very good. Let me. I'll call you back.
No.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
I had a feeling.
Are you there?
Yes, I heard most of that.
Okay. Yeah, I just merged you in. So, and that was Matt over who heads up specialty default services, by the way. Okay. So yeah, I mean, if it were us,
5 o'clock end of business,
I would respond, give them their deadline if they haven't provided anything or.
And you could even email it over to them and fax it to them, though no need to overnight a package because they provided you a fax number and an email address.
So the only way to really stall is they – do you have a modification paperwork drafted that you can just plug in the numbers or no?
No, we don't.
Well, if you get a deal, I'll help you. Get the numbers.
Actually, this loan has already been modified once.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So it's a default.
It's a default. So, I mean, they would need to sign.
That's more leverage that you need a higher down payment because they've already defaulted on one modification.
So they would need to deposit funds and execute something. They could cancel, you know, like at 9:45.
Yeah, and it's 10:50. There's plenty of time.
They're 2 hours ahead. Just so you know, Texas, they're 2 hours ahead.
Okay, well, there's still time.
Okay.
So bottom line at this point is that I should call BW back.
Yes.
Since they're the representation. And say, here's our terms.
With a deadline because you're proceeding forward with sell, and they would need to sign a modification agreement and deposit funds.
Okay, and since I don't have a modification agreement set,
Just put the terms in the body of an email, and then we can make it happen later.
Repeat that. Alan didn't hear that. Oh. Say that again.
If you just put the terms in the body of the email, if they upon acceptance, shoot those terms over to me, and then I'll make sure it happens for you.
We'll send you a modification agreement.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, but I can say that later then.
Yeah. Just put your terms in the body of the email. So
yeah, terms and a deadline.
Yeah.
And wire instructions.
And like literally all you really need is the money. You know, they can trail with the executed agreement.
Hit that again. Make sure they understand that.
Oh.
So of funds and the trailing for the dollar.
Okay. Did you get that part? All you,
say it one more time.
The most important thing is just the deposit of funds. You can let them trail for the actual execution the agreement. You don't need their signatures. You want their money. So the money is what's going to postpone the sale. So tell them that if to do anything, acceptance of the terms via email, you'll trail with the docs, but get the money wired into your account.
Okay.
And then I would just cite that, you guys, we understand the borrower wants to work with us. We feel that this has been simply a stall tactic, and when you darn well know that under federal law you have five days prior to sell that you would needed to have submitted a response, and you did that on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of calling them out on it, like, we're here to help, but here's why we're doing it. We're not postponing anything when no one's been cooperative.
Now, does she? Yeah, she could deed the property over to you.
Yeah, have her deed it to you.
And that would stop the sale.
Yeah.
There is a lien against it, not a killer one, but a decent sized one.
What? How much? And what's it for?
I think dental bill.
A what? What is it?
A dental bill.
Oh, what?
The judgment.
Wow.
Judgment. Oh, no. It's Sherman Finance, Inc. versus Tara Quick.
Okay.
Recorded 2013 for $565.
Oh, okay.
That'll be extinguished. Well,
yeah.
So,
whatever.
That would be extinguished by a foreclosure, but it would still be there.
Yeah.
And should... will have accrued additional interest for 2 years.
But that's attached to her social, not of the property.
It came back on the title report.
Hmm.
Well,
push pause on that, John. Okay, very good. So real quick on that last one, once you go to sale, that judgment's gone. So that's a moot point. So give us an update now, Alan, to where we're at this very moment, because it went to sale, correct?
Well, we did actually we did not have an email address for VPR, the workout firm, so we back and I scrambled a lot to get all the documentation together. We were actually near 5 o'clock before we were able to fax it.
And that was best efforts based on. I mean, that's like you can show good faith. Best efforts. I think you're absolutely fine. So that was 5 o'clock Monday, right?
5 o'clock Monday, and then I called VPR to confirm receipt of the fax because we did have technical difficulties with the fax, but they confirmed that they had received it.
You had to go old school with the fax, huh?
Yeah.
But very cool. So then really nothing got done, correct? If I remember right, or give us an update.
So nothing happened on that. We told the attorney or told Specialty Default Services to continue unless something happened. I kept them updated as to what was happening. It went to sale and sold with no other bids at about 10:17 Central Time Tuesday.
Very good. And just to solidify this, the cost, your servicer would have done all this, supposedly, in that amount of time for a $500 fee, right?
They wouldn't have been able to do it in that amount of time.
I know. I was kind of tongue in cheek when I said that. But so, you know, the point is, you took the bull by the horns and got it done. Showed, you know, I think you've covered yourself. But at this point, you know, now you're kind of on to the next process. So tell me this.
A couple of points on that.
Go ahead.
It was a scramble. I'm not sure it was perfect. Gloria can attest that I got a little bit testy there in trying to meet the deadline. But, you know.
now, you've made up and took her out to dinner, right, and stuff. So.
I will. But we do appreciate, yeah, we got additional emails from Kristen on material to include in our response. So we wound up including the letter with the deadline and actually wire instructions with an account number that we use for deposits only. And then we included all the note documentation. We included the payment history that we had and included a summary of that. So we did the best we could, but that's what they got.
That's really good. And so just, you know, we've had a couple of things come in on the chat here. What company do you say? Special Default Services. It's actually Special Default Services. And that's a special unit within Trustee Corps there in Orange County, California. You've heard Rand Johnson and Matt Kelly present at some of our past events. For those of you who've been around, those who haven't, we do have some presentations in the members area that they just give. We love working with them because they're available.
And we will be using them again.
Yeah, no, very exciting. So there's that, and then I really appreciate the feedback from Dirk, who, you know, he says, hey, this is all great, and he had a great suggestion, which actually, if you ask Dirk, just for you, if you ask Kristen and John, you know, I was like, how do we get the PDF in front of them so they can be seeing that, and we just ran out of time, but we wanted to run with this still. We will have the PDF and below, when we post it below, of the QWR where you can look and follow along with this, and this will be definitely something where it's one of those stay tuned to see where things go. So tell me this, Alan, right now, as you just await for that deed, you want to follow up and get it as quick as possible to start your process. What are you thinking right now? What are you thinking in terms of next steps?
Next steps are, we got the invoice from Special Default Services last night. I asked them when we'll get the deed. They said after the invoice is paid. So we actually express mailed a check to them this morning, figuring it's worth the extra money to get the deed as quickly as possible. I arranged for insurance this morning. It's not quite bound yet. And then our next step is to actually, we will, Aaron suggested that we contact the borrower after we have the deed to try and convert her into a renter. I'm going to disagree a little bit with Aaron, and I will turn it over to a rental property manager to do essentially the same thing, which is to ask her if she has any intent to stay. If she does, then we'll have them qualify her according to standard rental qualification practices. If not, we'll give her a cash for keys deal to get out.
I tend to side with you on that. I just think, you know, we have not had good luck leaving. I think we've got one that worked out okay, where you leave the person that wouldn't pay in the first place. You know, so unless she's sitting on a mountain of cash that she wants to buy her house back, do you know what I mean? I don't know that you'll be doing too much with her. Well, definitely, let's stay tuned.
My impression is that she's marginally employed.
Yeah, I think you might be right here. So, but anyway, keep us posted because we can do the final write-up on this once you've got it performing again. And it'll be great to kind of see those numbers. And I appreciate, again, the feedback for people saying if we get the numbers in front of us, know what the deal is, kind of get a feel where they're maybe even working it a little closer than you even were just now. So I hope you guys got a live look in there and that was beneficial. So if you guys wouldn't mind, just chat there in the question box. If stuff like this is useful to you, it really helps us where you engage and say, yes, more of this, because this is gold to me, you know, because we go through and you're constantly masterminding, seeing what other people are doing. And when the car's parked when you first get started, you know, you retain a certain amount. When you're right in the throes of things and you're able to be live on a deal, I don't even know how to describe it, but your learning curve is just massive. You know, and so that's why I always tell people, get in motion and just, you know, some of the things you're going to go on faith and you're not going to know everything, just make sure, again, going back to our upcoming workshop, just, you know, the number one fear people have is making a bad buy, right? And so if you feel like you've, you know, I know you probably relate to that too, Alan, but I know when I got started, I'd only done a lot of stuff in my own market, and this was something away from me. And, you know, to say now that we're in 22 different states with assets, it just blows my mind, and being profitable, right? So it's a big deal. So kudos to you guys for rocking and rolling and getting in the game, and I look forward to hearing more about this. So it looks like you went from go ahead.
At the beginning of the webinar when we're talking about the QWR, I was questioning in my mind whether I still needed to respond or have the servicer respond. And now I think after we've gone through it again, I think we've done our best to respond, and I think that would count for that. But I'd just like to know if anyone else, you know, agrees with that or not.
Well, listen, I agree with you 100%. I really do, because you've done everything you could. You've got it all documented, right?
That we will hear anything more from the workout company.
Yeah, I agree, because it's over. So, very good. We've got a few people that have chimed in and said this is useful stuff. So, awesome. I know there's some dialing in on the phone, and it's hard to type in the chat there. So, Alan, thank you, and we will just so I make sure I understand. You said that you had about 20 and change into it. The amount as a note that was owed was 30,000. Was the UPB plus arrearages and lights? Is that kind of where you were at?
Yes.
Okay, so you probably would have been there. Now the house, you know, 45 was 6 months ago. I have a feeling that it's probably in the 50s. Even though RPR stands 74, I'm always conservative, but you've got some nice options here. So you're thinking you're probably going to look at potentially renting it?
I potentially rent it and then either keep it or flip it once it's cash flowing.
Awesome. Awesome, but, awesome. Well, keep us posted on that one.
Yes.
Very good. Thanks again. Guys, any other questions before we close it out today? Okay, good. Marion liked it, Chris. Okay, good. And then one last thing. The lender has 5 days from when the QWR is received. If the QWR comes to our PO box when we're out of time, we don't get it until a week later, what do we do? Well, that's a great question, Jan. And literally, you just have to be able to document that you weren't there to receive it. I've actually seen a few cases on that, and you're fine. So in the case where there's a sale date, you know, there's not much you can do regardless. You might want to either it's just tough. I don't think there's anything you can do there. So very good. Well, next week I'm excited. You know, we talked about some content we had for you guys today, and you know, we went over in a recent, I guess it wasn't super recent, but we kind of shelved. We had a lien, and I'll just tell you a little bit about it, and then we'll let you guys go for the day, because I know we've held you for a little while. But we've got a situation where we bought a lien, a junior lien, and we actually found out it was a third. And third position instead of second position. And so we did some research on that. And the note seller we bought from, you know, they have a rep and warrant on a second lien. And right away, you know, the thought that people would ask would say, well, hey, are you looking to go get that replaced by the note seller? Well, this particular note seller is very hard to work with and has been very frustrating for us. And so we decided in a situation was to just proceed to see what we could get. And in this particular, I'll go into it in more detail next week, but we actually found out that there was some fraud involved where the borrower pled guilty in the mortgage business, and something that happened as to why there was a second and a third one didn't get released. He was part of that process, and it looks like this was a practice he did on many other occasions. So anyway, just to leave a little cliffhanger there for you, we've actually reached out to the second mortgage holder, and there's a chance that we'll be able to buy that at a steep discount. But we've already received an offer on the third mortgage from the borrower, which is a settlement, which it's not doubling our money, but it's close. And so we thought, well, maybe there's a chance to double dip here. So we will definitely have an update for you there. But I wanted to run it through and just take you through the process of what we've done. And it was just one where we kind of shelved while we were making some contacts with this particular second mortgage lender. And to be able to buy a one-off is pretty rare. And we've made some good contacts internally at this particular lender, which we can talk about with you guys in the future if you ever need some help. Kristen's worked hard to build that relationship. So anyway, one last question here. Thank you, David. Well, we'll get to you right now, my friend. Can you clarify if he was supposed to reply to the QWR even though it was sent out of compliance with the law? And you can chime in on that, Kristen, if you'd like. But my opinion on that is best efforts. If I went back and I don't think he had to, but I think it was good for him to do that, just to show that he made good faith.
Matt said that it would be your choice. It would be your option to exercise a response, but it would be a good idea.
Very good. And let me just make sure I'm not missing anything from anybody before we sign off. Very good. All right, another piece of feedback there, which I appreciate, Jan, getting the slide deck, print out, take notes on the webinar. We'll discuss some of that and see what we can do. I definitely see where some of this stuff, if we get it to you guys a little earlier, it'll definitely be beneficial to you. So keep the feedback coming, guys. Keep the question coming. And the more you guys are reaching out to us and letting us know what's going on, what you're having difficulties with or what you're having success with as well. We got some people sharing their successes with us, and we'd like to bring those to you guys. So anyway, we kept you a little longer than we normally do, and we hope it was worth your while. And please reach out. We're here. We're here to serve and want to see you guys be successful. And you saw that picture of the Polynesian Cultural Center at the top of the hour. And I want to be hanging out there with you guys on the North Shore. So we'll find a way to write that off for business purposes as well. But we all need more passive income to be able to do more trips like that. That's what this is all about. So signing off for today, thanks so much to Alan and Gloria for sharing that and helping the group as a whole to get better. And thank you so much for Kristen for all her hard work and helping out, and as well as Aaron and Matt Kelly for being there on the bat line in the back door. So thanks so much. We'll see you guys next week. Bye now.